Welcome to the Unix Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the tight end position here on the hierarchy of assets. And you can go check out all of the other shows for all of the other positions. The tight ends will be the last one. I think we'll have three shows here. We're going to just specifically talk about this show, the elite ones, because they're really important. And then we're going to talk about contributors and the others later on, and then some depth stashes and all that. So, you know, the rule for star tight ends is the top three tight ends, basically. And then you can make an exception, right? So I tend not to make a lot of exceptions. I like to make, you know, if I'm going to make one exception, if I'm going to make two exceptions, right, I want them to be like very specific exceptions that I'm willing to sort of do. Here I make one exception to the general rule. So the tier is, it's Andrews, Kelsey, Pitts, and Kittle. I think there's a, you know, there's a couple of things that we can go into here. Guys that don't make the tier that you might be thinking about why, Hockenson and Goddard are probably the next two nearest names. They don't make the tier for a couple of reasons. Goddard actually is interesting. He is only a little bit more than a year younger than Kittle. He's actually almost a year older than Andrews, which is interesting. So we like Dallas Goddard, but he kind of feels like the Hall of Very Good. So we'll see. Like, he still has tight end one probably in his range of outcomes, but he just hasn't sort of sustained the high-end production that a guy like Kittle has, right? So I think they're different. And Hockenson, you know, has been much made of his time in Minnesota. I'll just point out though that he actually was worse on a per route run basis in Minnesota than he was in Detroit. So in Detroit, 211 routes, he had 395 yards. That is good for 1.87 yards per route run. He was targeted on, you know, not that high of a percentage of his routes, you know, there. And then it actually, when you go and actually look at some of the stuff in Minnesota, like, it actually looks a little bit better. But the production's down a little bit. Like, he kind of came on late. He had like four of his best like five games later on in the season, but the numbers kind of came down. So, you know, there's just a little bit there that I leave a little bit to be desired. He leaves a little bit to be desired. So that's really the rationale. We'll get into theirs more later in their show, but that's the rationale for their not inclusion here. So I figured I would put that here, and we'll talk about more tomorrow. So I think if I had to draft this range, I would probably go, if I'm sitting here today, there's a non-zero chance that Kelsey's like, all right, I'm going to walk off into the sunset after a Super Bowl win, right? He'll be 34 in the off season, or he'll turn 34, I believe, early next season. He's 33.3 right now. We don't see a ton of, you know, we don't see a ton of tight ends, right, play this productive. Like, he's a unicorn, but at this age, you do wonder, you know, how much is he going to play? I mean, Gronkowski and him are the same age, right? So, again, I would, before I spent tight end one on him in a startup draft, before I probably, you know, I like to wait until, you know, the actual offseason begins, just from my process perspective, you know, get through everything I need to get through. I don't like to do startups this early, just because my calendar doesn't really fit it. I'm finishing AOD and all that other stuff. So I haven't really been faced with this decision yet, but I'd have a hard time pulling the trigger at one or two, I think. I have a really hard time at this point taking, you know, Kelsey ahead of Andrews for sure. Ahead of Pitts, I think, as well. Just because I do think there's some of that risk there. The question then becomes, like, you know, Kittle's 4 years younger than him. You know, so they're right there, right? Again, if Kelsey's like, I'm going to play two more years, right? I'm going to play three more. Like, if he kind of gave us some sort of commitment on his longevity, we just don't think of him in that way. But again, there's, you know, I guess he could conceivably go the Jason Witten route. But Jason Witten wasn't, you know, a top 30 asset in tight end premium at this point in his career either. So, you know, so that's the only thing that's really holding me back on Kelsey at this point of the calendar. Again, if we get to July, I feel a lot better about drafting Kelsey at tight end two, right? I feel a lot better about that. Whereas right now, I feel less enthusiasm because I think there's more risk than there is for a guy like Kittle or a guy like Pitts or Andrews, those guys. So that's kind of where I'm at. On sort of the Kelsey deal. And listen, Kelsey coming into the season, you could have pitched me like a couple of different things. Like, hey, last year was a down year. That certainly could be true. It certainly is true. Like there's no real, I don't think there's a ton of debate about that. It was basically the second worst yards per route run of his career. This year, a pretty mammoth bounce back. He was basically 0.4 of a yard better per route run this year than he was last year. That's a big difference. He's above his career average this year, which is good. This is his second best PFF receiving grade of his career. You know, and so you just look at it. Again, his ADOT's come down a little bit. It's below average the past 2 years, below his career average. But this is his second best receiving season of his career in terms of total yards. He had 136 on 139 targets in 2018. So that year is better on a per game basis than this one is. But yeah, I mean, just a dominant player. It's amazing when you think about just the shape of his career. His yards per catch, since, you know, his rookie, well, he missed 2013, 2014. Yeah, he was drafted in 2013. He had that microfracture surgery. Remember, microfracture surgery was such a thing, and it was, you know, can you ever come back from this? The answer to the question is yes, lo and behold. But his yards per catch, just incredibly consistent. Again, with multiple different quarterbacks, too. 12.9, 12.2, 13.2, 12.5, 13, 12.7, 13.5, 12.2, 12.2. So basically within the 12.5 to 13.5 range of his career, that's where it's been. You know, when you look at that's pretty wild, right? Just how consistent he was. His ADOT, very consistent with Mahomes until basically the last 2 years he's been used basically yards shorter. So, again, awesome in terms of how often he's targeted. 150 targets this year on 600 routes. Like, you'll certainly take a 25% target per route run, right? Like, you know, being targeted that frequently, you will take that. So again, I think he's the preeminent, he's the apex predator of the tight end position. I think, you know, based on where he's at, no one has a higher ceiling than him. You could pitch me on, you know, there's a ceiling for Kittle, maybe that's as high. Like, you could pitch me on the idea that there's a ceiling for Andrews that's that high, just because, like, Andrews, and honestly, like, if he's probably going to be maybe the action play of this whole thing, is like, Andrews is the buy guy probably from this tier. I think when you look at Andrews, there's going to be some early season questions on him because you have the Lamar Jackson question mark, right? He was down last year. He was, you know, everyone was talking about because of Tyler Huntley and saying, oh, it was all Tyler Huntley being the reason why he was so productive in 2021, that would have been, you know, that's the reason why. Turns out that Tyler Huntley wasn't some skeleton key for Mark Andrews this year. So, you know, for what that's worth. But I do think, like, he's one where he's run basically he's run more than 434 routes once in his career, and that was 2021. And we saw what we saw, right? We saw 2.18 yards per route run, and we saw a tight end one finish. You know, that 2.18 yards per route run, just to give you an idea how crazy Kelsey is, that would rank that would rank, I believe, sixth in Kelce's career. I would rank actually seventh in Kelce's career. So the tight end 1 yards per route run for Mark Andrews would rank seventh in Kelce's career. That's how good Travis Kelce is. That's how much like up he is. Again, and it was a big jump from last year. Like there was a steep decline. He dropped from 2.5 yards per route run in 2020 to 1.84. Like, that's just a cratering. But he jumped back up to basically well above and between there, the 2.23. So you feel good about his trajectory. Obviously, he was elite. This year was the worst for Andrews in terms of yards per route run, 1.95. Like, that's an incredible statement as is, right? The worst season of his career is 1.95, which, like, you just don't get a lot of guys that actually ever get to that, right? You just, that's a lot. Like, that's super efficient, but 0.2 of a yard, more than 0.2 of a yard under what his career average is. So just a really high, he's a really high floor guy. The ceiling, I do think he has that ceiling, but again, we'll see with the new offensive scheme and the whole nine, maybe they lean differently in terms of some of their passing tendencies and the like. But when we've seen a high volume season from him, we've seen him capable of producing at a really high level. So that's kind of the skinny I would say on Andrews. Again, I think he's a really high floor guy, just because he's so darn efficient. And, you know, you might be able to get him coming off of a bit of a discount. He's only 26, too. He'll be 27 right around week one next year. So still plenty of time in his prime. Kittle's the next one up here. Again, we'll get to Pitts in a second. But Kittle, again, he was actually the lowest yards per route run since his rookie year. So he was at 1.42 in his rookie year. He's up to 1.73 this year, but he had a 3 in there in 2019, which is just ludicrous. He had a 2.8 in 2020. He had a 2.8 as well in 2018, so and a 2.35 last year. So this year is actually a down year for him, despite the fact that he did score 11 touchdowns. He ends up closing pretty well. He's never run more routes than 489, and that would have been his second year. Again, some injury in there. His high in his career in terms of targets is 128. So again, I think, like, if you were to say, you know, best case scenario, like if he got a crack with Mahomes for a year, if you're like, hey, if Kittle went in and, you know, I don't know, if Kelce retired and they traded for Kittle, for example, I think that's probably as high of a ceiling of any tight end, like, walking right now. Like, that's, I think Kittle could best any season for a tight end. Like, he's probably the guy that has the highest overall ceiling. Will that ever be realized? It's hard to say. Like, if you're not going to run 500 routes, it's really tough to do that, you know? So, but 2.38 yards per route run for a tight end that's never ran more than 489 routes. It's going to feel probably like, when it's all said and done, it's going to feel like a wasted opportunity, honestly, considering how good he's been. But I really like him. It's a really high floor scenario. And again, I think the ceiling's outrageous. We just are never sure if we're going to get that volume. And in a Kyle Shanahan offense, we're probably not. So that's kind of the bummer there. Again, I wonder what, like, if he ends up ever being a free agent, for example, if he ever ended up hitting the market, it would be interesting to see who would come calling and what could potentially go on there. But he is under contract through 2025. He ends up becoming, like, capable of being cut, really, after next year. His cap number will be almost $19 million at that point, which, you know, isn't that high, honestly. Like, for a dominant tight end, isn't that high. So, you know, we'll see if it ever happens, but I think this could be one of those scenarios where we look back and we're like, man, what could have been? Like, he probably has the highest range of outcomes of any tight end. He just might never get the volume. But if he ever got, like, that one peak Andrew season, like, oh man, it'd be awesome to see. All right. So then that's brings us to Kyle Pitts, who's the youngest guy on this range. Again, he is 22.3 right now. He will be 23 in October of next year. So again, when you look at Andrews, for example, that's a four-year difference. So there's certainly a edge there for him. 1.92 yards per route run on his career. That's excellent. Again, he was 2.02 in his rookie season when he went over 1,000 yards. Not the best tight end, rookie tight end season of all time, by the way, despite some people wanting to tell you that. That is factually incorrect. It wasn't all the way there. But good nonetheless. I do hearken back to, by the way, like, I'm not saying he's this person. I don't think that is true. However, if you go back and you look at a rookie season from another first-round tight end, and you look at some of the efficiencies there, some of the ways that he was talked about, Evan Engram, right? Like, there was that really elite beginning season there for Evan Engram. He never got to the efficiency that Pitts was, but he was talked about in that, oh, like, this is one of the best rookie tight end seasons ever. Pitts is well above what he did early on there. But just remember, like, it's a big jump to get from being very good to being elite at tight end. That's a big jump, and you have elite guys you have to step over to get there. So just remember that at this position. I'd take Andrews over him still. I would take, you know, again, if you're faced with Kittle or Kelce or Pitts at this point, like, I think you probably go Pitts just because you don't want to whiff that early in a draft with Kelce retiring, something like that, you know, prematurely. If this is August, I'm probably taking Kelce over Pitts. You know, Kittle's in that range as well. Like, what do you think about him? I think you probably take Pitts over him just because I think the ceiling's probably higher and you get more value insulation. Like, there's a big gap between them in terms of how the market feels, so you take the guy. But if you wanted to trade, you know, if you could get Kittle in a first for Pitts, like, that's interesting, right? That's officially interesting there for me. So again, especially if you don't think he's got the overall one in his range of outcomes, right? If he doesn't have the overall one in his near range of outcomes, like, you can, it becomes much flatter after that. Like, this, the drop from wide from tight end one overall down to three or four, that's a big drop, and between 4 to 10 isn't that big of a difference, right? So if you don't think he's got tight end one overall in his range of outcomes, like, this year or next year, I you should probably be exploring the market to see if you can trade at the top of it. That's kind of the game plan there that I would have. So I have him in a spot. It's a premium spot. Again, I think there's a different argument there for him in, like, a premium format. The floor is really high. You know, that's essentially like a two. That's almost more than two PPR in that particular format that I have him. And, you know, so that's one where you're like, all right, I'm starting two, maybe three tight ends in the flex each week. I'm going to kind of run up the edge, and he's going to be part of that. That's one way to think about him. But if it's a regular non-premium format, like, I'd be in the business of exploring a sell for him. So that's just my thought there. Again, I think he's really good, but there's a huge difference between really good and being a tight end one, right? That's a very hard tier to get to. So only it's the most difficult one to get to, right, in terms of guys that have done it. I believe it's 9 in this century, right? So it's a very, very difficult tier to break into. There will be a post-Kelce world, presumably, at some point, and he would be, you know, on that list of guys. There's a couple of other guys that you would think could potentially be into there, but I don't value guys that you can do that until they actually do that, right? So that would be the difference there that I would have. So that's the elite tight ends. Again, it's elite, and then it's guys you hope that are elite, and then it's everybody else. So we'll talk about the guys you hope that are elite in the next episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.